music of the stars.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Clean Origin.
I'm Monica Ricks. Russia is now ramping up attacks against Ukraine following a deadly attack this morning in Belgorod. Ukraine allegedly shelled a 10-story apartment building, killing at least seven people there. Crews now digging through debris for possible victims buried by the rubble, and they're working quickly over fears it'll collapse. U.S. lawmakers are sounding off on Israel, which has now notified Palestinians in Rafah to get out before it expands its offensive there against Hamas. Democratic Delaware Senator Chris Coons.
What matters is whether the next stage of this conflict against Hamas, which Israel has every right to carry out, allows for civilians to get out of the way of any future attack on Rafah.
He was on ABC's This Week. UNICEF spokesperson Tess Ingram also on the program. She called the situation in Gaza horrific.
When we talk about having safety for people, it's not just safety from the bombardments that they need. It's also a safe place to go to, and the places where people are being told to move to are completely unsafe.
Meantime, Secretary of State Antony Blinken's preparing to present a new report to Congress this week that could have serious international implications for Israel.
On CBS's Face the Nation, Blinken told moderator Margaret Brennan the facts were clear.
When it comes to the use of weapons, concerns about incidents where, given the totality of the damage that's been done to children, women, men, it was reasonable to assess that in certain instances, Israel acted in ways that are not consistent with international humanitarian law.
Blinken said the U.S. and Israel continue to investigate the actions of Israeli troops in Gaza. Christopher Cruz, CBS News, Washington.
Residents have been posting videos on X of a tornado in Finleyville, Pennsylvania, near Pittsburgh. That twister touched down last night, severely damaging at least 12 homes there. Several people were also hurt at a nearby church. Former President Trump's now blaming President Biden for his legal troubles, and some Republicans agree. Ohio Senator J.V. Vance weighed in today on CNN.
This is a sham trial where they're saying his misdeed is that he violated the law, that he committed a crime. You can't throw somebody in prison in the middle of a presidential election because you think that he did something bad 10 years ago.
Former fixer Michael Cohen set to testify in Trump's hush money trial tomorrow. He dealt with the payments at the heart of this case meant to influence the 2016 election. And Swiss singer Nemo has won Eurovision. He's the first non-binary winner of the song contest and beat finalists from 24 other countries last night with his song, The Code. This is CBS News.
Don't pay retail for diamonds. Come to cleanorigin.com, the lab-grown diamond experts. Mention code RADIO10 for 10% off. CleanORIGIN.com, online or one of our retail stores.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Birth doulas help new mothers with the stress and anxiety of childbirth. But there's another type of doula, people who support people who are dying. Terry D. has more.
Death doulas or end-of-life specialists give spiritual and emotional support to people nearing death in a non-medical setting. Kim Burgess is an end-of-life doula and certified adult geriatric nurse practitioner. She says fulfilling a dying person's wish to be in their desired setting is important.
People wanted to stay in their home, their comfort of their home, their own surrounding, their own food, their own loved ones. So I loved being able to support people in that role.
Training to become an end-of-life doula happens in workshops with required reading and work-study assignments. Since it is not a federally recognized field, insurance companies do not cover these services. Death, or what is sometimes called the other side, can produce feelings of fear or a sense of denial, especially if a terminal condition has been diagnosed. Burgess says it is a 24-hour job for loved ones helping someone in these final days or weeks, and she's encountered families who are unprepared for the caregiving needs.
And a lot of times their family is saying, we're just overwhelmed, and we have hospice involved, but we still feel like we need some more support. An end-of-life doula can be there, given the family reassurance or making some slight suggestions.
Doulas can also help plan an advance directive, instructions a person can leave behind about their funeral service or cremation, what to do with a pet, or help writing a loving message to family and friends. This is Terry D. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunny to mostly sunny skies, a light south breeze at highs reaching the middle 70s in the afternoon. In the overnight, we'll see showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy skies, and our lows will make it down into the upper 50s. Currently 71 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This is the podcast where we talk to a bunch of folks. Some of them are from the Midwest. Others are for the Midwest. I hope they're all for the Midwest. Anyways, we are powered by Everlight Solar. And here is today's episode. Folks, we are back at it with the Cripescast. Kelly Maraca joins me today in this intro. She's the EP of the Cripescast. If you haven't listened to an episode, you wouldn't know that. So I'm letting you know. Today's episode, Christian Yelich. We need to invest in a sound machine, sound effects machine, yeah. I think, because we have some pretty limited sound effects abilities at our disposal. But anyway, Christian Yelich, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know Christian Yelich, Milwaukee Brewers outfielder, Golden Glover, Silver Slugger, the whole situation, 2018 MVP.
For the National League, yep.
For the NL MVP, ladies and gents. Milwaukee Brewers, been a staple of Milwaukee for quite a few years. Just super excited to have him on. We met doing a Lineys video.
Yep.
Line and Kugels, we did the Summer Shanty video where I was in the dugout and we met in the dugout. I was the beer guy and we were talking about, you know, athlete to athlete about our injuries. Mm-hmm. So that is where we met. Absolutely. But I think the first time we had a chance to chit chat and talk in
At
length was at his charity event. He's got a great charity event. We'll shout it out here. You can find in the show notes. It's essentially helping kids all around Milwaukee have more access to baseball through building up their parks, their schools, and assisting with other nonprofits.
And there's another one happening this year, the Christian Yelich Home Plate Charity Concert. Tickets you can get at visitmilwaukee.org/Yelich. So yeah, check it out.
Thank you, Colleen.
And he was absolutely right in the podcast. As a Cubs fan, we do not like him. And I didn't mention that I was a Cubs fan when he was here because I didn't want to like.
Oh, you know what? I forget you're a Cubs fan.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yeah.
In fact, I feel like I forget it often enough that it's not a huge part of your identity. And so perhaps you could just switch over to the Brewers.
The only thing worse than that would be becoming a Sox fan.
Oh, no. Yeah, that is true.
I can't. And like even going to Brewers games, like to this day, I wear neutral colors. Like I don't support the Brewers. If you guys are playing the Cubs, like I will wear a Cubs jersey.
Yeah.
So I didn't say anything.
You know
anything,
what real Cubs fans do?
Wear Cubs game. What Cubs jerseys?
Cubs jerseys.
I actually did
to
that.
To a Brewers game when they're not playing
I
the
did
Cubs.
That last year.
That sucks because then you're just a walking billboard and you're just drawing.
No, they were playing the Cubs. It was still a Cubs game.
No, what I mean is if they're not.
Yeah,
playing
I know.
The
I
Cubs.
Thought I did that, but I didn't. I just wear it to. I if I go to a game where I'm not cheering for either team, I'll just wear a white t-shirt.
Yeah. All right.
So
that's your flag of surrender. Yeah. Yeah.
You know funny. What else is a white flag? Is a W flag for the Cubs when they win. You know.
You know what? I don't need to. It's a big L flag. How's that sound?
Okay.
When they lose.
But yeah, so he was absolutely right when you guys were talking about that. And Yeah, it was fun, like, hearing you guys chit-chat about that and then making him be a part of our sketch outside.
Yeah, later. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, which that sucker will be coming out. We've got a How to Make a Brat sketch coming. Christian will be part of that. And Christian is also the guy who caught my opening pitch last year.
This is our first episode back.
Yeah.
And it's been a month off of April, so do you want to give, like, a recap of what it's been like?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Just been on the road a lot.
Yeah.
Just been... on the road a lot, living life. It's been nice to take a break from the Cripes cast because we hadn't really missed many weeks for years. Mm-hmm. And so it was nice to take an extended time off and really build up sort of a backlog of interviews that we can show to you guys. And I think my goal with taking a month off is it's really just to make every interview count more and really do the research that is needed for all of them. And not to say we weren't doing that before, but
just get recalibrated.
Yeah. Between that and the tour and whatever, I knew, especially with this month of April, I just couldn't physically do both.
Yeah.
So thank you all for your patience on that. And from time to time, you know, we will be taking some breaks and all that with the Cripes cast. I'm trying to make a more sustainable life for myself, and sometimes I overbook and overdo, and that just means kind of everything suffers quality wise you know, not necessarily of the product, but just of my enjoyment of life.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to enjoy life more, because, you know, we only got one.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So anyways, folks, thanks for your patience. So excited for this interview. Every show we are trying to raise some money for Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders is a great way to help out the situation in the Middle East right now. They've been doing a lot of great work in Gaza, trying to get food in, supplies, medical supplies, people. It's been a very tough situation. It's hard to know how to help. You've heard this before, but you can check them out, doctorswithoutborders.org, and contribute some money in that way. You can also follow them on their social media. All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here is my conversation with Milwaukee Brewers left fielder Christian Yelich. Life on the road, does that wear on you, or are you just used to it now?
Pretty used to it. I mean, unless there's like a really like long, late travel night or something like that, then it kind of gets to you. But for the most part, it's just autopilot at this point. It's just part of your life, part of your job, you know.
Does that mess with your sleep, like sleeping in like, you know, not your bed?
Sometimes, like the first night in places, or if we're like bouncing time zone to time zone a lot.
You know,
like that's when it kind of gets weird. If you're going like East Coast to West Coast or Central time zone to West Coast for like 10 days, and then you come back and then everything's kind of adjusted and then messed back up, but it's kind of just part of it, you know?
Yeah. Are you now, I mean, you've been in, are you like a bougie guy with your hotels? Do you need like certain like standards, certain things tick you off? Cause you spend so much time in hotels.
I mean, we stay in pretty nice places always. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's hard to say that they're not bougie, but you know, different hotels are, you know, they're all different in their own ways, you know? But you kind of get used to it. You know, sometimes the first night in a place is a little tough, but.
Yeah. So here's the other thing I'm curious about. Cause I know that in Milwaukee, we got the Pfister, mm-hmm. and the Pfister is haunted. allegedly. I don't know, just so I don't get sued. But I hear like visiting, I think there's some with visiting teams stay at the Pfister and the ghosts. What's the story with that?
So, I mean, yeah, I stayed at the Pfister for 5 years. I was with the Marlins.
Okay.
I stayed there. Yeah. Before I obviously got traded to the Brewers.
Did you see ghosts?
I had no haunting experiences there. It's a thing throughout the league though. Like everybody knows about it, but I never had any experience when I was there. I think it's because it's like it's a circle, right? Like the tower is like all the rooms are in a circle, so everything kind of like echoes, I feel like, so people think it's probably maybe haunted. I could be wrong, but I never had any problem when I was there.
Okay, but that's a thing in baseball. Like, yeah, people know that. Are there other cities with haunted hotels, or is that special to Milwaukee?
There's one in Tampa that we used to stay at that people would say was haunted, or I guess it was in St. Pete, but I've never had a hotel haunting story or experience. Dang. I guess. Yeah, so I'm kind of not the best to speak on that, but those are like kind of the two where people I've heard people say like they've had haunting experiences.
Wow. Does it make you feel bad that you haven't been haunted yourself?
That I wasn't chosen?
Yeah.
Maybe a little.
Yeah.
I have some cool stories.
I know.
I got nothing. Or maybe it's because maybe it was happening. I was just passed out. Didn't know.
Wow. That's crazy. I never know like if you've got to be like a certain special someone to get haunted.
I don't know. I don't know who we'd ask about that.
Were you just, was that a diss on me right there? Who would ask about that?
No, I don't know who we'd ask. I thought you were saying I don't know who would ask about that.
Well, here it is on the Cripes Cast. Are you a car guy?
I wouldn't say I'm like a huge car guy. I don't know. I don't know a ton about like cars or engines or certain specs like that, you know?
Yeah. What kind, like, what did your, is there a car that you remember your parents driving from growing up? Where you still see that car, you're like, that's my dad's car. That's my mom's car.
I remember, I don't know what exactly it was. I guess maybe it'd be like a Suburban, but maybe that's like the Tahoe now, I guess. Something like that, because I had three brothers. So, you know, you get need a lot of room to drive everybody around. So like it was always, we were always piling in the back of that.
Yeah.
Shuttled around everywhere when we were kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys get into fights in the back of the car?
I don't know if it was, I mean, obviously, yeah, childhood fights, but I don't know if we ever got him in the back. I'm sure there was a time, you know, just chances are three boys growing up together. I'm sure there were some backseat car scuffles.
Yeah, I met your brother over at your charity event last year. He's the realtor. Yeah.
Yeah, he's him. And then I got a younger brother, too, that he hasn't been out. He hasn't been out to Wisconsin in a while.
What? Well, why the hell not?
I don't know. Yes, we'll have to get him out here.
Well, yeah, I think so. I think so. Who was like the winner of the fights? Who was the alpha dog amongst the brothers?
I don't know if there was. I mean, I was the oldest one. I'd say now my youngest brother would probably be the one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a pretty big kid and can handle himself a little bit. So I think now he would be the one that's coming up on top. But I don't know. We didn't have any like too bad of like. You know, there's never any like broken noses or anything like.
Oh, really?
There was never anything like that. It was just, you know, sibling bickering and fighting back in the day.
Got it. No stitches, nothing like that.
I don't think any ever. No stitches from fist fights. I think we've all had our fair share of stitches as kids, but no, not from fighting. No.
Man, that's cool. That's lucky. Me and my brothers, like very young, me and my other brother broke my little brother's femur. And then my brother got stitches right here. I got this scar. That's because we were playing American Gladiators. You remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We were playing on the kitchen table or on the dining room table, and he got me with a pillow. You remember the ones where you're doing that?
Right in the lip.
Yeah. He hit me in the head, and then I fell and I cut my. So he won that round, that bout. Do you ever feel like they should bring American Gladiators back?
I feel like they've tried, right?
I don't
recently,
know.
I think like in the last few years, I feel like I've seen that somewhere. Where
now that I say that,
like bring that back like a year or two ago or maybe a little bit longer.
Do you think if you retire from baseball, you would play in American Gladiators?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what I'll do when I'm done playing. I obviously want to do something because I'll probably still be fairly young in life. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. If maybe something not physical anymore.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe just give the body a rest after all those years,
you know? Yeah. You got first of all, how is your back?
It's doing all right. Just kind of manage it and just wear and tear of playing, you know. And sometimes it gets pissed off and flares up and you just kind of have to deal with it, and sometimes it lasts longer than others. You don't really know. You just try to take care of it and manage it as best as possible.
Yeah, because you were playing yesterday and what you kind of just dumped out in the
just a few days ago. Just kind of got it a little bit in the first inning of the game, and you know, once that happens, it's like you can't really do anything about it. You're done, you know. And
yeah,
you try to just manage it as best as possible, catch it early if possible, and then go from there. Sometimes it clears up quick, sometimes it kind of lingers for a little while. So, you know, that's what I'll be doing after this, going into the the stadium and get that worked on and see if we can get that thing knocked out.
Yeah. Do you have, what do? You do ice bath, you do like needling, you do something interesting you want to share?
Pretty much everything. You know, we're there for hours, you know.
Really?
So I get there, play 7 o'clock game, usually they're on like 1:30 anyway,
even
if you're playing. So I mean, now I'll probably not play tonight, so I'll be just in there getting worked on, doing rehab PT stuff before the game, during the game, maybe a little bit after. So it'll be pretty regimented day of trying to get this thing better and then see where we go.
Got you. Yeah. I mean, cause you know, by the way, congrats on a great season so far. How does that feel? Like, I feel like, and I'm not, you know, super into the baseball numbers and everything, or like hardcore gambling fanatic, you know, because I'm actually going to the game tonight.
Are you?
But I'm not like, you know, there are those guys that are like drilling down on stats.
Yeah.
They're betting on games. They know everything. I'm like a fan, but I'm not that kind. There are I feel like a few different types of fans. There's a spectrum.
Yeah.
So
we experience them all.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm not a guy on Twitter like talking smack after the game. You know, does that annoy you when people go on Twitter and just like give you crap or teammates crap? Or
I mean, it's such a thing now. Like when you're just being a pro athlete, like that's such a part of it now, especially like you said with gambling.
Yeah.
Like every night, if you don't get a hit that night or something, like you can go on your social media and you can just scroll forever about people just hating you for, you know, messing up their parlay or their bet, or it's like, oh yeah, I didn't get a hit tonight because I knew you bet on me. So, you know, it's like,
yeah, you're in charge of their gambling addiction. Like,
I'm not gonna get a hit tonight because I knew you bet on me. Like, come on, guy.
Do you think the gambling thing has made the social media hate worse?
Yeah, 100%. Like, not even close. I mean, you used to get it anyway if you like didn't play well, but that was just from like fans of like just being mad at you for not doing well. But now with gambling, it doesn't even have to be like people that watch your games. It's like they just kind of choose you in their bets and then they don't cash and they're, you know, they're pissed off at you. But such is life as a pro athlete now. It's just kind of part of the game. And you know, people yell at you from the stands or like whatever they bet on you, like when you're like warming up and stuff, like, really? I need you to do this tonight. Just yell it. And then if you don't get it, they're pissed. If you do get it, they're in the stands, like super happy with you, like stoked in the game. So it's become a wild experience actually as an athlete with like how much more prevalent gambling's like become in sports, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I feel like each year kind of progresses and it becomes like more and more popular and more people like bet on it.
Right.
So it's definitely like changed that aspect of it, of like your social media and stuff like that. And I think you just kind of get used to it. Like I don't even care.
Yeah.
Like if someone's going to yell at you on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, you're like, ah, cool, man. Like,
yeah,
get in line. There's a long line of people here that are pissed off. So,
right.
You know, it is what it is.
Overall, do you think it's better for the game or worse for the game?
I don't know. I mean, it has people invested in it and it's not going to go away. Like it's only going to become more incorporated into the game. I feel like it'll become more prevalent in like in the in-game experience, you know. Like,
oh,
I'm sure it'll be in ballparks, I don't know, in the near future, but at some point, like, you'll be probably able to sit in your seat and bet whatever, you know, at some point in the future, you know, because especially for like how far it's come in such a short time already, like there's gonna be, I feel like it'll just keep going. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's the entertainment industry after all, right?
So it's true.
If you can keep people entertained, they're more invested in the sport. It's kind of good for everybody. And, you know, it's just kind of a byproduct of being a pro athlete now, is you deal with that.
Yeah. And money's going to drive it. You know, I mean, same thing with like, with sort of the rules changing in baseball and like the different entertainment elements added, like, how do you feel about the clock? How do you feel about the props during the home runs? How do you feel about like all these changes we've seen over the past few years?
I like the clock a lot because it just keeps the game moving, you know. Like it keeps it. It's usually, they're all pretty much sub 3 hours now. If you play a 3 hour game, you feel like it lasted forever. And before, like if you play a 3 hour game, you're like, wow, that flew, you know? But so I think that's good. There's not really much wasted time anymore. It's kind of just, the game just moves with the clock. So I'm a big fan of the clock. The home run props, I don't know. I'm not a huge, we don't do one anymore. We had one for a little while and then or like, ah, man, you're not going to do it. Just because, like, I don't, like, if you're, like, down 9 runs in the ninth inning and someone hits a homer, and you're just like, here, you're put, like, all,
here's a, yeah, put all your shit on, or whatever. You know, and
run around the dugout. It's like, oh, we're only down 8. It's like, ah, I don't know if I love this. And it's just like, I don't know, like, we don't need, if you do it enough times, just like, you know, you look at all like the best teams, I feel like they don't really have one.
Yeah. I mean, where did that come from? Like, is that,
I don't,
like,
really know. It kind of came out of nowhere. Like, yeah. I don't know what team did it first. And then once I feel like people saw like one team do it, then like other teams started doing it. And yeah, I don't know.
Gotcha.
I don't know where it started, but we don't have one. We didn't have one like the second half of last year. We haven't had one at all this year. We're not going to have one this year.
And, gotcha.
You know, we're just going to go out and try and win every night.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I do, through the course of this, have a few various fan questions, and one is kind of related to what we're talking about. This is Andy Roffey. He is a Cubs fan.
Okay.
And he is that's a fib. And do you know what a fib is? Being here, fib is effing Illinois bastard.
Okay.
So makes a lot of sense, yeah. You know, appropriate thing. He wants to know, have you, as a Cubs fan, have you spoken with counsel since he went to the Cubs, and how do you feel about playing the Cubs coming up?
Yeah, I spoke to counts after he made his decision. You know, he called most of us, told us what he was doing. And, you know, and then I actually ran into him in Arizona when we were out there in spring training.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we just like accidentally were same place, same time in a restaurant. And so we caught up there a little bit and talked, but I'm happy. I'm super happy for him. You know, obviously I understand the hard feelings Brewers fans, people are going to have him going to the Cubs because of the whole rivalry deal. But at the end of the day, I mean, he got compensated extremely well for, what he does. And in my opinion, he's one of the best managers in baseball. And, you can't fault him. You know, it's no different than in my eyes as a player being a free agent and, you know, getting the highest offer from somebody else. And it blows a lot of the other ones out of the water. And you got to go take care of your family and do that whole deal. And I don't fault him, you know, one bit. It doesn't change my feelings about him. It doesn't change what we were able to do as a team, you know, in his tenure here and all those great memories. And, you know, I've learned a lot from him, and I know he appreciates everything that we were able to do as a team, in his time here. And then, you know, things change, people move on. It's part of sports, you know, free agents sign with other teams. He was a free agent, you know, and that's what happens in free agency and in sports. You know, I understand the hard feelings there from a fan perspective, but you know, me knowing counts personally, like I he's a great guy, great person. And, you know, really happy for him and his family.
Awesome. That's great. Well, going into, you know, Chicago, do you think there's going to be like an extra thing in the rivalry given that, or do you think it's going to soften the rivalry?
No, it's not going to soften it. It's not going to soften it. But, you know, look, the games are decided by the players on the field. The coaching staffs and managers put you in the best positions to succeed. You know, like they want to put you in moments where they think you're going to have the most success. But ultimately, the games are decided by the guys on the field. And look, it's become a pretty big rivalry. It's always been a rivalry, but I feel like in the last few years, it's been a pretty big rivalry, like us and the Cubs. And especially when we go to Chicago, you know, our fans don't like them. Their fans definitely don't like us. You know, I know I'm not very well liked in that stadium.
That's got to feel good though.
Yeah. I mean, look, you don't want them cheering for you.
Right.
That means, you know, that means they're doing well and you guys aren't. So, you know, you want to go there, you want to be hated. It's fun. It adds a good excitement to the game. And, you know, look, I'm sure that's just going to add like another element to the rivalry, but we're going to want to still win, even though, you know, obviously counts has been with us for a long time, but that doesn't change, you know, our feelings and our goals for the year. It's just kind of a new chapter in Brewers baseball. People move on, people do their thing. And, look, I'll be friends with counts forever. You know, it doesn't change the fact that he manages the Cubs or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. What team's got the worst fans?
The worst fans? Honestly, it depends on a nightly basis. Like you could be anywhere and, you know, you could be just getting crushed that night, just in a random city. It just depends who's in the crowd, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, when we play the Cubs, I get it for three straight hours, you know, the whole game, probably longer than that. I get it from batting practice on till the end of the game. But, you know, there's nothing better than sending a crowd of 40,000 people home sad. You know?
Yeah.
So we always enjoy going down there and playing those guys and hopefully winning. But yeah, I mean, you have the New Yorks, the Phillies, the,
yeah,
you know, San Francisco, actually, they'll kind of get after you a lot out there.
Yeah.
Especially Cincinnati a little bit too, randomly, like,
yeah, really,
they like to talk. They like to talk out there.
What's the worst thing someone said to you from the stands?
The worst thing?
Yeah.
They'll come out. I mean, you hear some really, really, really bad things out there some nights. Like,
really?
Some stuff where you're like, man, like, why would, you know, like, this isn't the zoo, man. Like, you right. know, I feel like people just, you know, when they buy a ticket to a game and they're in the stands and there's a, you're on the field and there's a fence and it's just like, all right, anything goes, you know? And sometimes you're like, nah, that's not cool. You know, if you're saying something funny and you're just like giving me a hard time,
yeah,
whatever, you know, I'll laugh at it if it's funny. But sometimes you're like, man, that's kind of crossing the line.
Funniest thing someone said, do you remember any of it?
I don't know the funniest thing. I think it was my rookie. It was like early on in my career. I think we were in Atlanta somewhere and someone said that, I look like the giraffe from the Atlanta Zoo. And he starts singing like the Madagascar song.
Are you kidding me?
That one was pretty funny. I remember that one for whatever reason. Like, that one sticks out. But you hear some pretty funny, like, you hear some funny stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you hear a mix of everything, you know, every night. And it's part of it. You know, it doesn't really bother you. You just kind of just ignore it. And it is what it is. Because once you acknowledge it, it gets way, way worse.
Yeah.
You know, if you kind of start interacting or, you know, you try to start kind of giving it back.
You can't feed the trolls.
Yeah. You just kind of let it go. And it is what it is. But as soon as you like acknowledge that you can hear it or you're like paying attention to it, bad move.
But to be clear, you can hear it.
Most of the time, I mean, if there's not a big crowd, you can pretty much hear it all.
Okay.
If there's like a larger crowd and there's a lot of like ambient noise and not as much, but if they're like those random, you know, a weekday game and it's not a big crowd, or, you know, you have like a rain game and there's been a delay and like the crowd's kind of gone, there's only a few people left, like, you can, I mean, you can definitely hear it.
Yeah.
They're screaming it at you.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right.
You're listening to WRJN, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for Matt Nair on Air.
CBS News Brief. Russian forces are now heavily attacking Ukraine near Kharkiv today in retaliation for an attack that killed 7 people near its border. Emily Thomas is with the BBC.
In Russia, an entire section of a 10-story apartment block in the city of Belgorod has collapsed after what the local governor said was a direct hit during Ukrainian bombardment.
Crews are still digging for as many as 15 people there believed to be buried under rubble. Israel's urging Palestinians to get out of Rafah, where it plans to ramp up attacks soon against Hamas. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders says these people are homeless and hungry.
We are looking at the likelihood of hundreds of thousands of children facing starvation.
He was on NBC this morning. And Pope Francis wished moms a happy Mother's Day from the Vatican today. He wished prayers for lost mothers and peace for those mothers suffering in war zones. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The crew with a comfort behind win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It looked like the Cardinals' losing streak was finally coming to an end. St. Louis was up 3-2, bottom of the seventh, when Milwaukee's Rhys Hoskins was at the plate and used a golf swing on a low slider. The call nationwide on Fox Sports.
Kittredge home, Hoskins in the air, center field, ranging back Ciani.
Five to three in favor of Milwaukee was the final score. Hoskins at his locker in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I didn't think it had enough to get out. I know I got some good barrel to it, but just like with the way that some of those balls have been going and just the way he was tracking it, I thought he was going to get some glove on it. Obviously he did, but got just enough.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
From what I've been told, it was a really good pitch
and he stayed through it. When he's using that approach to stay to right center, he's square to the ball. He's really tough.
From AmFam Field, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price, sunny to mostly sunny skies, a light south breeze at highs reaching the middle 70s in the afternoon. In the overnight, we'll see showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy skies, and our lows will make it down into the upper 50s, currently 71 degrees.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and